Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time that we are able just to worship you in spirit and in truth, that we are able to sing these songs and just glorify you. And as we transition into this time of your word, would you continue to open us up? Would you pour your Holy Spirit upon us and just allow us just to learn and grow and transform our lives to be more and more like Christ? And so, Father, we look forward to what it is that you have to speak to us. Would you continue just to inspire us and just continue to change us? So we do these and pray these all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned at the beginning, we have a guest speaker today, and it is my honor and privilege to introduce y'all to Dr. Justin Wong. Pastor Justin and I have been friends and colleagues for quite some time, and I'm just super excited that he was able to open up his schedule and bring us the Word of God this morning. Pastor Justin graduated from Houston Baptist University and then attended Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where he obtained his Master's of Divinity as well as his Doctor of Ministry. He's currently in progress of obtaining his second doctoral degree in Educational Ministry. Pastor Justin is married to his wonderful wife Tina, where they have two beautiful girls, Ella and Mia. My hope for the future is that we are able to invite Pastor Justin back to speak for us live at West Houston, but for the time being, would you help me in giving a warm welcome to Pastor Justin Wong as he brings us the message this morning?
Good morning, church. It's been a blessing and pleasure to bring you the word this morning. We're going to be in Jonah chapter 1, if you want to grab your Bibles there and turn to it. Want to introduce myself. My name is Justin. I'm the pastor at Chinese Baptist Church. I work with the youth just good friends with Pastor Sok. And it's just a pleasure to bring you God's word. So before we open, let them pray for us and then see what the Lord has for us this morning. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for a chance where we can gather. Although virtually, God, we thank you that we have the word to inform us, your spirit to guide us, and the body of Christ to encourage our hearts. And so, God, thank you for this morning. Would you do what no person can do, which is to change our hearts, to allow us to move from one step to the next, and allow us to be sensitive to what you have to say to us today. So give you thanks. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. I appreciate everything, especially this chance to kind of speak to you guys. And I love the chance to just to partner in this type of ministry. And so as we move into the book of Jonah, I don't know how this became a children's story, honestly. I think a lot of times this is a children's story because it has animals or something. But as we look at the story, it's actually pretty crazy. And the circumstances in which God brings about how he does things, it's pretty amazing. And I don't know how this got hijacked to a children's story. And in reality, this looks more like something for you and I than it is for my, say, 4 or 5 year old daughter. And so as we run into this, what we're going to find just very early on in the book is a theme of God's people has a tendency to always run and rebel, and then God has always a tendency to restore and redeem. And so let's look into it, and we're just going to cover a couple of verses, but my prayer is not that you just learn it just to learn it, but that you're able to really be challenged by it as a family, as individuals, and as a church. And so let's look at verse 1. And this is what it says in Jonah chapter 1. It says this: "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, say, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up again before me.'" And so what we find out is there's a call that goes out to Jonah, and the call is arise and go. And so what we understand at the beginning of the book is Jonah's a prophet. He knows the law. He knows the word of God. He's familiar with it. When God calls him, he's not asking, "Hey, who are you? Can you please identify yourself?" He knows that it's the word of God. And so this is crucial to understand, because for Jonah and like us, we know what he wants us to do. And so the question is, what does he want him to do? Well, he wants Jonah to take on this monstrous task. And it's to go to one of the most ruthless, evil empires of the day and to call out against it. And to call out isn't just to preach to it or teach Nineveh. They didn't have a knowledge deficiency. What God asked them to do is call out against this evil and wicked nation. And this would be the equivalent of you and I being sent to one of the most hostile areas of the globe, and for us to condemn the leaders there, to condemn the lifestyle of the people, all to say, hey, be careful, beware. And like Jonah, there's a little bit of hesitancy, right? But what's interesting to note in verses 1 and 2 is this, is that if God's going to redeem you, right? If God's going to call you to himself, he's always going to call you to something that he's doing. And so the principle here is God is always inviting his people to join him in his purpose. And so one thing that I constantly try to tell our youth and our church is God's not just looking to save you, right? That's not the end goal. The goal is to save, to redeem, so that you are pushed out. You are then discipled, and you are to make disciples. So he saves, yes, absolutely. He redeems you from your sins, but he also calls you on a journey. So to look back in some distant past and go, well, that's the extent of my Christianity back then, back there. And the thing is, no, God saves, and yet he calls, and he does so for Jonah, and he does so for you and I. And so as we do this, right, and we look at Jonah, what does a prophet, someone who knows better, right, someone who's familiar with the word of God, and yet given this task, albeit a difficult task, what does he do? Well, we see this in verse 3. It says, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare. He went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. There's a little bit of Hebrew wordplay here. In the beginning, what we find out is God calls Jonah. He says, arise, go to Nineveh. And here, Jonah hears it. And yet he also arose and he fled to Tarshish. And so catch this. Jonah knew who God was. He understood his calling as a prophet. Yet in a moment of selfishness and blatant disobedience, he runs the other way. And actually, if you take out a map, it's actually crazier, because it's not that Jonah misheard him or he's like, could you remind me again? It's not that he wanted to kind of be obedient, but then, you know, Google Maps took him the wrong way or whatever. If you look at it, where Jonah was, Nineveh was about 550 miles to the northeast of where he was at. Tarshish was 2,500 miles in the complete opposite direction. And so if you just look at a map, you can go, Jonah, here's what God wants to do, right? What he wants Jonah to do. And yet in a moment of selfish disobedience, he runs physically the complete opposite side. And this is the same as going, I know what you say, I just don't want to do it. And in reality, this is you and me, isn't it? We hear what God wants us to do, sometimes in big moments, but a lot of times in small moments. And yet what we say in a moment of selfish, blatant disobedience is, I don't trust you. I don't trust that you're good. I don't trust that you know better. I don't think you understand the circumstance of what's going on. I don't think you understand what this is going to cost me. And for whatever reason that we're trying to give God as a legitimate excuse, we say, forget that. I'm not doing what you're telling me to do. And so we decide that we know better and we rebel. And it's insanity. Because we think that to find joy is to run from the author of joy. And honestly, this has been happening since the beginning with Adam and Eve. Now, if you think about the story of Adam and Eve, it just doesn't make any sense. why does Adam and Eve rebel in the first place? Why did they even desire to sin? Because they had everything they needed, right? And yet, in a moment of selfish, blatant disobedience, they thought to themselves, I know better than God. God doesn't want the best for me. And they sin. And it's been happening ever since. And for Jonah, this was a physical act of rebellion. He gets on a boat. He takes his money. He pays a fare. He physically tries to move as far away from the presence as possible. Now, yours may not be physical, a physical act of rebellion. It could be, but for some of you guys, it's other things. Your act of rebellion is, even though Scripture and the Lord keeps reminding you that to speak words of blessing and speak words of life and to confess your sins, you say, no, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to use my words to curse, to belittle, to sarcastically undermine other people. And I'm going to use my words for that. That's something else. And I want to do this. Or for some of you guys, the rebellion is lust, right? And although you say, hey, I know that marriage is sacred, your mind tends to wander, your eyes start to move forward, and you go, man, I don't want that type of relationship that God you put there as a standard. I want this. I want these type of relationships. I want this type of sexuality. I want this. And this is your rebellion. You go, hey, I don't care if you wrote that in here. I don't care if that's what you desire. You go, I know better. This is the way to do it. And we rebel. I think in the time of quarantine, a lot of our rebellion is just pure laziness. It's although we know we need to make time to commune with the Lord, our laziness creeps in and, hey man, there's more Netflix, there's Disney Plus, there's Hulu, there's YouTube. And we just say, hey, we'll get to our studies and we'll get to our discipleships. We'll do that another time. And we just make excuses. And at the end of the day, you can't blame anyone, right? You own it. And so here's the sad reality with all of this, right? Sad reality number one is the Lord is asking you to join him on these journeys, to be obedient, not because he hates you, but because he loves you. He wants to free you from stuff. He wants to release your hands from certain things, and he wants to bless. And yet, for whatever reason, we think that is actually a curse. We don't trust them. The second sad reality is there's always going to be a boat to take you to Tarshish. What does that mean? There's always going to be a vehicle or something to fuel your rebellion. And so if your rebellion is your mouth, there's always going to be other people to encourage your bitterness. They're going to encourage your gossip. They're going to say, hey, tell me more about this. Oh man, could you believe that they said this? And there's going to be people that encourage it. There's always going to be more images for you to click on, right? There's going to be deeper and more grotesque things for you to consume. And there's always going to be more. There's more boats to Tarshish, always. And it's a constant cycle that will always be pushing you there, right? Laziness, oh my gosh, there's going to be tons of stuff. Apps fly in and out. Whatever popular games there are, it rotates on an almost insane type of rotation because there's always more things to do, right? And so here's the question. If a prophet of God, if a child of God who knows better and yet they decide to run, how does God respond? Well, let's look at verse 4 and 5. He says this, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea and there was a mighty tempest on the sea. So the ship threatened to break up. So circle that real quick because it's going to be funny. Verse 5, then the mariners were afraid and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner parts of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So what you have to notice right off the bat was this. God's intention was never to kill Jonah. If he wanted to kill him, he could have just killed him, right? Like, what? Why go through all of the theatrics to get on a boat and get down on the and then just kill him then? God's intention was never to kill him. God's intention for the Ninevites was never to kill them. Why give a warning through a prophet if at the end you're just going to kill them? And it's because of grace. He sends people to warn and to pronounce judgment because there's grace. He sends a storm to Jonah, not to kill him, but to wake him up. And yet, what's happening? What do we see about this? We see that God, in his loving character and graciousness, he sends a storm to get Jonah's attention. And what I said was funny was, if you look at the original language, look at the boat. The boat understands what's happening. It says the boat itself was threatening to break up, which means the boat understood that it was God who was trying to get everyone's attention. And I think this brings us to the next crazy part. The mariners who were, you know, by trade, by livelihood, probably as young little boys, they were on the boat all constantly, and they've seen these things, and so they know it. And when a moment of panic hits, what happens? Everything goes out the window, literally. And so they are taking what probably was going to be their profits of sell, and they were chunking it off of the boat. Why? Because they wanted to save their lives. Everyone on top of the boat is doing whatever they can to find a solution. Now, where is the man of God, right? Where's the prophet? The prophet is at the bottom of the ship. And what is he doing? He's sleeping. Now, when you look at that, you're just like, how in the world is that happening? Because if it's a big boat and the boat itself is about to break up, I ain't sleeping. What do we know? We know Jonah was supposed to go on this mission, and yet he decides to physically run. And watch what he does. He physically tries to distance himself from the Lord. Instead of going to Nineveh, he plans to go to Tarshish. So he wants to physically remove himself. Now, the question is why? And my thing is, I think it's because when you're not on board with what God has planned for you, you feel it. And so to numb that or to get away from that, you have to do whatever. You have to just get into the sin, or you physically got to move. Jonah, he just wants to physically move, which was ironic, by the way. How do you physically go away from the Lord, who is owner of the land and the sea? He physically wants to remove. So he's not at the top of the boat. He wants to get lower and lower. And so he gets on a boat. He pays the fare and he goes about to the bottom of the boat, and he lays down and he goes to sleep. And I think Jonah is at a point where he's so low in his rebellion that he's so self-absorbed, and he's fallen asleep. And here's the crazy irony here. The irony is everyone on top of the boat is trying to find salvation. They're looking for answers. They're doing whatever they can. They don't even care about wealth and profit anymore. They're just trying to live. And yet, who's the one who has a solution? It's Jonah. Where is he at? He's at the bottom of the boat. Why is that ironic? Because the one with the answer is so self-absorbed in his blatant disobedience that he can't even recognize that people on top of a ship and people in a dark and dying world are trying to find solutions. And he doesn't care. And so, church, is that us right now? Right? And I have to ask, I'm not asking just you, I'm asking me too. I'm like, man, everyone, even in this quarantine thing, they're trying to find a solution. They're literally asking Christians, like, what's the purpose to this? Why is this happening? And so the crazy thing would be for us to be like, I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe God's punishing us, right? And I'm like, no, you have the answer to this. And so the question is, man, are we similar to Jonah, to where we're so worried about our own stuff that we don't care, we don't notice the neighbors and the people asking for help? And maybe we're going, man, maybe we just need this conversation with them to go, no. This is the Lord. Let me show you who he is and why he's so good and why we ought to be trusting him and where to find salvation. Because look, we know this is bad. We feel this is crazy, but our hope isn't in a vaccine, or our hope isn't in these type of things. Our hope is in someone who controls the world and the chaos in it. And so, church, what about you? Right? What's happening right now in your families? What do we do in the moment like this, when a world is looking for hope and looking for answers? Do we step in? Are we obedient to the call that he's caught us in? And maybe for some of you guys, that's the wake-up call right now. It's the fact that, hey, you've been sitting on your salvation and yet you've done nothing with it. And maybe today you get up, right? You arise and you go, right? And you tell people and you share with them, you check up on other people. And maybe that's your thing. And maybe for some of you guys, it's, hey, get up out of the boat, right? Confess your sins, repent, and realize he's not there to punish you. He's there to free you from your sins, but you need to get out of yourself and stop wallowing in your self-pity and playing with things that you know is destructive. And so maybe today is a day of repentance for you, and to repent of the things that rob you of joy and to move you towards a God who's calling you on missions. And so last, let me ask, what about your church? In a season like this, what happens? Because this is scary, because none of us knew this is what's going to happen in 2020, right? And as we move forward, what is God calling your church to do? What are the next steps? What are the groups that he's asked you guys to reach out to? And so, man, I don't know what it is for you guys. I don't know what y'all are going through. I know what our church is happening right now. And I know it's going to take a lot of wisdom and courage, and it's going to take obedience. Because, man, it's easy to make excuses. But a lot of times those excuses are pretty much based off of selfish, blatant disobedience. And we sit and we do nothing while a whole world is desperate for hope. Pray that that's not us, that we don't lose our opportunity, right? Parents, I pray that you don't lose your opportunity to speak life into your kids now, when they're young, when they're teenagers. I pray that at the end of the day, you and I are obedient to the call of the Lord, that we're obedient to his salvation. And I pray, church, at this moment, we don't lose out on what we need to be doing. So thank you guys. I hope that this is encouraging, honestly, that there is a God who loves, that he's always out to redeem those who are rebellious, just like Jonah, just like you and I. God bless.